Welcome back to Sound Radio with me, Jamie Rose, my guest today, podcaster, Radio X DJ, presenter and all-round absolute radio legend, it's John Kennedy. How are you, mate? Are you all good?
I'm fine, thanks, Jamie.
Yes, I mean, thank you for doing this. I really do appreciate it. And yeah, it's absolutely, I've been dying to get a hold of you for some time. I'm just fascinated by all that you do, because we kind of have on the show, we kind of have artists, new artists in particular, and there's no better person for introducing kind of classic rock artists that are new on the scene than you. I do have to say, before we do begin this interview, I did a little bit of research on you. There is absolutely no, that I think someone has increased your age on Wikipedia. There is absolutely no way that you are your age. It probably, yeah, unbelievable that it says on Wikipedia. I think someone's increased it, John. I'll be honest with you. You should probably go check that out.
That's very kind of you, Jamie. But the brutal truth is that I was born in 1965. So that is an awful long time ago. But I'm glad to still be here, and I'm glad to still be doing what I do.
Yeah, and I think you're amazing at what you do, and I think everyone else agrees. Everyone that we've kind of spoke to, we've spoke to a couple of people on the show, and kind of, I mean, Skylights and Lunarka, and a couple more of them, names that can't really come to me, but every single time I go, you was featured Radio X Exposure, and everyone goes, John Kennedy, absolute legend. Kind of, how does that, how, when you hear stuff like that, how does that kind of make you feel? Do you kind of feel a sense of entitlement with it, or do you kind of still kind of shy away from it, thinking that it's just kind of a job, perhaps?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no sense of entitlement. No, when I hear that, I think that's brilliant. I'm really pleased that people appreciate what I am doing and support me in that way. I think it's fantastic. No, it's great that the things that I do, so doing a radio show where you play lots of new music and play new bands and new artists, you know, it's great that that can be inspiring for them, because often it's the first step on a longer journey, and every step counts, and every little word of encouragement from people who run up to a band after they played a gig and say, oh wow, that was brilliant, to somebody playing them on the radio, somebody reviewing them, all of that is really important. And it's really hard to put yourself out there, to go from being in a bedroom writing a song, sharing it with your friends, and then sharing it with other people in a recording and in at a live gig. No, that takes courage, and so to be able to support people in that is a real privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before the show, was you kind of, obviously you went to uni and you did kind of radio there, but was you writing music? Can you kind of play instruments, or have you always just kind of restricted yourself to kind of presenting, DJing perhaps?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty talentless, so I might have been in a band with my friends when I was at school, but it never went beyond somebody's front room or somebody's bedroom. You know, we never did a gig, we tried to write some songs, we started arguments instead, and it never went anywhere. But I was always besotted by music and completely obsessed with what was going on. And so once I'd started buying records and then going to see bands, I was hooked and just wanted more and more. And then after a while, when I was at uni, I started DJing because I needed something to do with all these records that I was accumulating. And I didn't actually do any radio at uni. I started a club night with a friend and started DJing in clubs because there was no radio station at the university I was at. And in a way, university radio didn't really exist in the UK at that time. There were only a couple of stations, which was a real shame. And so when I came back to London, which was where I was from, I continued to DJ, and I got on a course for the unemployed, a media course for the unemployed, and that's where I started DJing on the radio. And it seemed like the thing I'd been looking for in a way, because one of the frustrating things about DJing in clubs is that you have to kind of keep people happy and entertained and keep them on the dance floor. And while that is brilliant fun, sometimes when you're doing it week in, week out, you end up playing the same things again and again and again. And I wanted to play new things to people. And radio was the ideal way of doing that. And so that's when I realized, oh, I've got to pursue this. And luckily enough, you know, it did become my job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you was at uni, kind of DJed at, it was University of Norwich, was it, that you was at?
East Anglia.
That's it. Was it kind of, was it attainable that you could eventually go and make a career off it at this point? Because obviously, I mean, it's got to be far easier working now with everything kind of computerized. Or do you kind of prefer having them records, having the physical records and putting them on? How do you kind of prefer to work? Is it easier now, or do you kind of enjoy? Did you kind of enjoy what was happening back then?
In the practical sense of playing the music. In some ways, you know, when I first started, it was vinyl. Then it moved on to CD, and now I use a laptop to play my music from. And they all have pros and cons. You know, there are advantages to some and disadvantages to another. One of the disadvantages is that you had to carry an awful lot of stuff with you wherever you went. And now, with a USB stick or with a laptop, you don't need to do that, which is great. But then there's the paranoia, having come from that old school approach. There's a paranoia that what if the equipment doesn't work? What if the laptop won't play? And that does happen, and it's very frustrating. It sends me mad.
I suppose it worries. At Radio X, you've got the kind of technicians and you've got the producers that all kind of take care of that. So you'd think
so, Jamie, but at the time of night that I'm on, there's nobody around apart from other presenters on other radio stations.
Is it just you, really? Are you the only one that kind of presents? Do you not have a producer on the show with you?
No, I produce it myself. So choose all the records. Yeah. All the songs that I play, I choose all the guests and I do all the interviews and organise all of that. So, it's a one-man band.
Do you prefer it like that? Do you prefer, I mean, we'll get on to kind of Rex, but do you kind of prefer being kind of by yourself and you being in control of everything? Or would you kind of want, in a way, to kind of alleviate the pressure of everything like that? Or do you prefer, in a way, for you to be in control of
everything? It's tricky. Having got used to it, I think in many ways I would probably prefer to be in control. But having said that, it's nice to have company and it's nice to have support and it's nice to have people who can assist. And so, you know, when I have had that at different times, it has been really helpful. But there's an awful lot of things going on while you're doing a radio show. So, and there's a lot of admin involved. So I'm typing at the same time as I'm doing the show, the track title and the artist title to go up on the website. That has to happen, and if I did that with somebody else, I would kind of be dictating that. By the time I'd have dictated it, I'd have typed it.
You may as well have done it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's difficult where to kind of, you know, to bring people in to help. Where it can be really useful is if I've got guests on and if they need a cup of tea or need looking after, it's really handy having an extra pair of hands to do that. Definitely. I've had people volunteer themselves and they've been fantastic help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do want to talk about it. I mean, Radio X, when you kind of first arrived there, XFM, so that, I mean, you're going back an awfully long way at that point in kind of the early 90s, I think, when you joined XFM. Yeah. How did it all get started? How do you end up on XFM at that point? Because at this point, it wasn't kind of the global-owned conglomerate that it is now. It's not the kind of multi-millions that listen to the kind of Exposure or the Evening Show or, you know, the Breakfast Show or whatever else, Johnny Vaughan on Drive. So kind of how does that come about? How do you kind of get that gig?
Yeah, well, it's a kind of long process. So I mentioned I got involved with this radio station with a media course for the unemployed. That got an FM license, and I started a show on that station once a week. And then there was a report in the NME about a radio station for the Reading Festival. And I thought, that's the kind of thing I want to get involved in. So after a few calls, I managed to connect with the people who are doing that. And they said, oh, sorry, mate, but we're all full up. We've got all the DJs we need. But let us take your number and we'll get back to you if we have anybody drop out or anything like that. So I gave them my number and I got a call a couple of days later and they said, oh, can we have a listen to what you've been doing? So I sent them a tape and then they called back saying, oh, there's this wrong with it, there's that wrong with it. Do you want to do four shows over the weekend? And so that's where it started, because the people who started Reading Festival Radio for that one weekend back in 1991 were planning to launch XFM the following year. And that's what they did. And they said, do you want to be part of that? And something we didn't realize at the time, when we first broadcast as XFM in 1992, that it would take 5 years to win a license. And So we're all kind of struggling along trying to do this radio station on the side.
For a while, and it was kind of a pirate radio, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, before it was XFM, it had been a pirate station called Q102, run by this guy, Sammy Jacob. Yeah. But it took a long time. So then, luckily, Sammy was true to his word and he said, look, if we get a license, you've got a job. And so that's when I became a full-time DJ in September 97.
Yeah.
And then we got bought out a year later by Capital, and we moved premises, and the station went through a number of changes, and I was lucky enough to continue to work there. The following year, in 1999, Exposure started, and Exposure is into its 25th year in February 2024.
Which in itself is mental. I mean, where does it sit in terms of kind of specialist shows? Is it quite high up there? I tried to figure this out in terms of I mean you would assume that it would be, you know, your stuff like Ken Bruce on Radio 2, but I mean does it sit quite highly on top of a specialist show and one presenter that has had that show for an awfully long time? I think it sits quite high there.
Yeah, you mean in terms of longest running?
Yeah, in terms of longest running.
Yeah, it is pretty. Yeah, I mean, it's one of. I don't really know. I haven't looked at that, but it is long running.
Is it not something that you kind of look at in terms of, or do you kind of focus on the show? Do you look at kind of, oh, it's in its. I mean, obviously, you celebrated in, I think, 2016. I want to say 20 years of in that 2016. Is it only them kind of monumental milestones that you kind of look at? You don't look at it kind of from a data perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to think each show is the most important thing. The new show that's coming next, that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah,
having said that, though, I am aware that in 2024, Exposure will be into its 25th year. So, you know, that somehow I want to celebrate that, and I'm trying to work out how, because that's more work, whereas you've still got to do the work for the show each weekend and for Exposure Daily as well.
Yeah, is there something quite big that you're planning for the 25th year of Exposure then? Is that something that you've kind of got in the pipeline that you kind of...
I hope so. I hope so, Jamie. I'm hoping that there'll be a big-ish gig to celebrate. We did a nice big gig in 2019 when the show was 20 years old. We had an all-day outdoor festival in London, which was really cool. If I was able to do something like that again, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Exposure, I think it's one of the best shows on radio, and I'm not saying that because you're on the other end of the line and you're on the show today, but I genuinely believe that kind of Exposure, and also the Exposure Daily, is something that I absolutely love. I mean, it completely just reinvigorates my day in terms of, like, kind of, because you can only listen to a certain amount of songs, can't you, on your own playlist until you kind of think, well, I'm a bit bored of that, so then, you know, go on Radio X, Exposure Daily, which I think is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's given Fierce Listens to Razor Light, Adele, Mumford & Sons, Kate Nash, all of which got their own First Listens. Is there anyone that stood out to you right away? Like, was it kind of something that came in from Razorlight or Adele, perhaps, where you was like, yeah, they're going to be as big as they ended up being?
It's tricky because their music instantly stood out and you instantly thought, wow, this is great. You never know who is going to really take off because it requires a number of factors. You know, so it requires a drive and determination from the artist. It requires an ability to connect with an audience. And then it requires the circumstances to be right for that to fit the times and for people to fall in love with it and for it to spread like a disease. and that's what happens when people really take off. Suddenly there's some kind of connection. And, you know, in a way, part of that is zeitgeist. Part of that is hard work and determination. And part of that is talent on the part of the artist. You know, and you need all those factors for something to really take off. And as the person who is really just one step along the way, you know, you can't necessarily tell that is going to fall into place. There have been loads of artists that I thought, oh, wow, they are amazing. I love them. And they don't really connect. They don't really take off or they don't have the drive that would take them to the top. It's really tricky business and you can't predict it. But you can enjoy what happens, and it's fantastic and really exciting to see something take off, and to have been a little part of it is a real thrill.
Yeah, and like you said before, do you kind of enjoy, like, kind of seeing artists that you've brought on the show as their first listens? Do you enjoy kind of seeing, like, was there a moment when Adele was at Glastonbury? Was there part of it that kind of made you, in a way, kind of have a sense of pride with it, thinking, you know, you'd listen to that from its very kind of core?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I mean, Adele is a good point. I remember watching the TV, they showed her Royal Albert Hall performance a few years ago, and I remember watching that and thinking, wow, that is just incredible, you know, to see her connect with all these people and to see her enjoy it so much, to think that she came in and performed live to air with an acoustic guitar, a couple of songs, and then I got her to play a gig for me. I paid her £50 to play this gig, and then she's selling out the Royal Albert Hall, but also then obviously Glastonbury and beyond. Yeah, it's amazing. But that is all credit to her, her talent and her songwriting and her determination to pursue that.
Yeah, definitely. Do you kind of keep up with artists that you kind of feature on the show? Stuff like kind of Mumford & Sons and Kate Nash. Do you kind of see them and kind of engage with them later on down the line, or do you kind of Do you ever reap the rewards of kind of putting them on the show? Do you meet them years later, perhaps, when they're selling out kind of arenas and like kind of doing sellout gigs? Do you kind of interact with them in that way and kind of get a bit of praise from them? Or do you kind of just move on to the next show and focus on the whole new lot of artists that are coming through as well?
Yeah, I do connect or reconnect with people further down the line, and it's always exciting and always great to see them and hear about what's happened. And in some ways, it's a strange job because you're there, you're on your own often, you're playing their music on the radio. They might come in and join you and perform live to air or do a session for you or do an interview early on, as all those artists you mentioned have. Yeah. And then they go off. They go off on their journey. They end up touring the world. They see the planet. And then they come back, and I'm in the same place that I was when they left me. And in a way, I have to live vicariously through their experience because, you know, they get to go off and have the adventure, but I get to hear about it afterwards. But at the same time, I feel like I'm on the adventure with them just because I've kind of known them from early on. And that is really exciting. It's great. And it is always exciting and gratifying to see people do well and have them come back on the show and talk about that and also see them develop. I mean, you know, these are artists ultimately, and so that they are growing creatively, and it's always interesting to see what they will come up with because they're very talented people, and these experiences that they have feed back into what they're doing, and they only get better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk very kind of educated and kind of candidly about kind of the music industry. Kind of, is there a reason that the show was kind of created in a way to enforce that kind of sense of the music industry and send them on their way? I mean, you obviously know a lot, but is that something that you've kind of studied? I mean, in terms of how the music industry works, and I mean, how certain people at certain shows and kind of a journey, is that something that you kind of look at in terms of not only just presenting and DJing, but also the music industry as a whole? Is that something that you've kind of studied, or is that just something you've just developed along the way?
It's something I've developed along the way, really, or observed along. In some ways, I'm on one side of the music industry. I mean, I'm in a lucky position because I can hear a demo and think, oh, that sounds good, that's got promise, and I can play it on the radio, but I've got no responsibility necessarily beyond that to make that successful. You know, it takes a number of other people to make that successful. I can encourage it and give it an opportunity to be heard, but I don't have the responsibility to really make that happen. And in some ways, I'm very lucky because of that, because that's where things can go wrong, because the pressure of trying to make things successful can be enormous. And I want to be able to support people, and I want to be supportive and encouraging. And I feel that I'm in that lucky position to do that. I think once you start thinking in terms of how do you make money from something, then that changes the game completely. And when you're talking in terms of the music industry, that is what happens. people are trying to work out a way of monetizing their talent,
yes.
and other people are trying to work out a way of making money from that talent. Those two things are really hard to yeah. align, and then to align that again with creativity and with art is difficult again. So I feel I'm on the sideline, but I'm kind of part of it as well, because yeah. I create the opportunity or can help create an opportunity. But I feel that in some ways I've kind of dodged a bullet by not having that weight or that pressure.
Yeah, that kind of pressure that comes with it. I mean, something that, along with exposure, something that I really enjoy kind of listening to is when you do kind of the track by track, especially for the albums. I was listening to the one from the Arctic Monkeys for the car that you did with Matt Helders and Alex Turner, which I must say I am hugely jealous that you got to interview them, because I'd sacrifice all this just to kind of get a chance to speak to one of them. But yeah, how do you enjoy kind of doing track by track? Is that something that you kind of want, because that's away from kind of developing, that's something that has already been established. I mean, you're bringing in you know, a huge band that has just done a huge kind of stadium tour, sold out like kind of Glastonbury on their day with the Arctic Monkeys. So is that something that you also have an interest in with the albums as well? I mean, how did that come about?
Completely. No, it's brilliant. It's a great opportunity to get it with an artist. And it's something that we've done for quite a long time, and it's been brilliant to be able to do it. And it's also a chance to really hear how an artist ticks and how they create and yeah. what they think about, and also get a little sense of their personality as well. It's a great opportunity with the album playbacks and the track by track interviews to really go deep. And I've been very lucky that I've been able to do that for quite a few years. So we've got quite a back catalogue of track by track interviews that you can listen to via Global Player. They're all up there. We've got a podcast as well, the Track by Track podcast.
Yes.
All the Arctic Monkeys albums interviews are up there. So, you know, it's amazing, really, because I've been able to interview them on every single album that they've released.
Oh, wow. What from the very first one right into... Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you go to Global Player and get the Track by Track podcast, you can listen to all the Track by Track interviews with Arctic Monkeys from the yeah. very beginning. And to see how they grow and change musically is really interesting. Yeah. To see how they develop is really interesting as well. And they're interesting people to talk to, because
yes.
You know, they don't like doing interviews that much. So I feel very lucky to have been able to talk so many times. It's been really interesting. And obviously, you know, they started out and they became a phenomenon.
Yes.
And they can continue to become a phenomenon, really, yeah. because they're both a phenomenal band, but in terms of what they do, you know, the trajectory of their sales, the size of their audience is incredible. And it's really interesting with them, because I think in many ways they've kind of taken on the mantle of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones for new generations. You know, those
yes.
are pivotal bands for a yeah. few generations, and they still are in many ways. But it's almost as if Arctic Monkeys have taken on that role for kind of the generations after 2000, you know, that they've been the real touchstone. So people are still discovering Arctic Monkeys. Teenagers, young teenagers,
yes.
still discovering Arctic Monkeys and connecting with them. And that's fantastic.
You know what? I've never, ever thought of it like that, but I suppose you are absolutely right. I mean, my generation, I mean, everyone that I went to the second night of the Manchester at Old Trafford, and it was just probably one of the best atmospheres I've ever had at a gig, like, ever. And I mean, I suppose you are, in a way, of kind of Beatles and the Stones. I've just never kind of thought about it in that way, and I suppose that there are 2000 kind of version of that, but I suppose they've stood out in a kind of case. I mean, when you come back from that kind of 2000 British indie scene, I mean, you're looking at kind of the Kooks, you're looking at stuff like Razorlight and stuff like that. So I think when you kind of talk about the Arctic Monkeys as taking on that mantle, I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, I should probably say, when I was listening to the interview yesterday, you do incredibly well to, like you say, I mean, they don't like doing interviews all that often. You do incredible kind of getting getting the answers out of them that I kind of really admire as an interviewer myself as well. What is kind of, I mean, it's a kind of double-sided question, this. What is kind of the best interview and the most starstruck you've been on meeting an artist? On what would also be kind of the trickiest and kind of something that, like, you know, didn't go to plan when with the artist, perhaps?
Yeah, it's tricky. Well, I guess, I mean, the most starstruck would probably be Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Who I've been lucky to interview a couple of times, and he was fantastic company and really, really interesting and a really charming person. And
I suppose your generation is, I suppose that's your music as well, isn't it? I mean, you're kind of going all through Wings, and you're coming off the back catalogue of the Beatles. I mean, my dad absolutely loves them, and it's like, I mean, I listen to them, but it's not my band. Well, I suppose is it in your way, kind of McCartney and Beatles and the Stones, is that kind of your band from kind of generation?
Yes and no. I mean, I was born in the decade that they started, or started to be really successful. So I kind of didn't really hear their music. You know, my parents weren't into that, so I didn't really hear their music till I was teens, but it connected to me. But that was partly because they had informed all the bands that were the bands of my generation, like say The Jam or Echo and the Bunnymen or whatever. You know, they were influenced by them, and then subsequently, you know, the likes of Oasis, who were steeped in the Beatles and you know, the Smiths, that I was massively into. So they were before my time, but also they managed to stay of the time because they were a constant touchstone. And I think that's in a way what I mean by Arctic Monkeys taking on that role, because even though those records have been out for quite some time now, new people are discovering them afresh, and they still connect with them because the songs are so good and the performances are so good. And it's interesting because only a few artists get to be like that for different generations of people. You know, you've got to be exceptional for your music to last in that way. And it's really interesting. You know, it's great to have been on the radio long enough to be able to see that come and go and then return, and you know, that kind of constant changing landscape. Things that I love about following music is just seeing how it twists and turns and what new trends come along, what new ideas people have. It's always really, really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say is probably, I mean, that's the most starstruck you've been with Paul McCartney, and I think everyone would probably be pretty starstruck with Paul McCartney. What would be kind of has there been a kind of occasion that sticks out in terms of a fairly tricky interview?
There have been quite a few. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and
yeah,
you know, some of the worst are the ones when you're live on air and you've got somebody in the studio and they're very monosyllabic and they just don't want to talk. And there have been a couple of times where people have been really quite chatty until the mic goes on. And then when the mic goes on, they clam up, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just got to kind of go with it. I'm not going to name names.
No, I was going to say,
because there's probably too many, you know, and all you can do is just try and encourage them to speak. And if they don't want to speak, one of the great advantages that you have if you're doing a music show is that you can just play the music.
Play a track.
Let the music do the talking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, you're an amazing interviewer for kind of getting people to talk, especially track by track. Because I think it's not, I mean, you can ask bands about how they started and kind of, what does this song mean? But when you actually look at the deep delve of an album like you do on track by track, I feel like that's where it really stands out as an interviewer. I mean, obviously, I don't want you to name names in terms of who have kind of, you know, been a slightly tricky interview, but was you surprised by them clamming up? Was you surprised by them kind of not embracing it in a way?
Completely, yes. Yeah, completely. Because the whole point of coming to do an interview at a radio station is to promote yourself. And if you go along and you don't, then you kind of think, well, why did you agree to this?
But and I suppose you're on stage as well. They're on stage as well. Sort of, it's not like they're not used to an audience. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what would surprise me.
Yeah, it's true. But then you see, the whole music and performance thing is complex, because in many ways, when you pick up a guitar or start playing a piano or start to learn any instrument, you're not necessarily doing it to show off and do it in front of other people. You're doing it because you enjoy doing it and it interests you. And there are loads of performers who end up having to be performers, but what they really want to do is just play their instrument. And so this added thing of where you have to go along and talk about yourself can be really hard for a lot of people. And it's not necessarily something that would come natural to a lot of people. So it's a tricky thing. But sometimes people are just rude, or they're just tired, or they're worn out, you know, and yeah. they don't have the energy to bring to the interview. So I forgive people more readily when you can tell it's just their personality.
Fatigue,
they don't
yeah.
mean to be untalkative, or they don't mean to not respond to you, but that's just not what they do. But then you do meet some people who just, they're just knackered, they're just worn out, they don't have the energy for it, and they can't be bothered. They've done too much of it. And I can understand and relate to that, but at the same time, it can be a bit rude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I do think you're a really good interviewer in terms of getting that kind of getting that out of people. But I suppose is the moments where you've just kind of been like, have you ever had to cut an interview short, perhaps, or have you always tried to get it to its time? Has there been times where maybe a segment was supposed to be 15 and you've been like, this really isn't working, and kind of cut it off by five, perhaps?
Yes. You know, there've been times when you might wrap things up a bit quicker yeah. than you thought you would, but then yeah. you might as well. You know, because it can be painful for the audience as well, and it's yeah. painful for you, and it's probably painful for the artist. I mean, the funny thing is when sometimes people try and be a bit clever and they want to be smart ass, and it usually goes wrong for them because people can tell.
Yeah,
you know, people will be listening and they'll contact you either during or after the interview and say, this person's an idiot. And you know, if you try and be too clever, sometimes it can really fall flat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What is that, just kind of people texting in from the show afterwards as well, just kind of saying, what is that, people kind of texting in into yeah. Radio X afterwards?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
do you kind of giggle at that then afterwards? Do you kind of giggle privately?
Yeah, completely. You've got to. No, I mean, and you know, I've been doing it long enough now that I can let it go quite easily. I mean, in the early days, you know, I'd have been mortified or would have taken yes. it personally. And I don't think it's really personal. I think it's more to do the whole circumstance. And sometimes artists feel pushed into doing something that they're not in the mood for, and if they're not in the mood for it, then they're not going to get involved or engaged in it, and it can be really tricky for them, I think, to maintain that happiness and that upbeat. Having it kind of persona is quite tiring.
Yeah, absolutely. How well would you say that you kind of know your Radio X and XFM colleagues, like kind of the people that you've worked with? Would you say you kind of know them personally, or would you say kind of people that you've worked with, you know them personally, or do you kind of keep yourself to yourself at the radio station?
It's a funny one, because you might know somebody for many years,
yeah.
but you don't get that many opportunities to actually get to know them really well. I mean, some I've got to know well over the years, because yeah. you're like ships passing in the night.
Yes.
You know, one show starts, you come in and do your show, and it's like, hi, bye, see you later. And so it's a strange job, Jamie. I don't know why you're doing it or thinking about doing it further, because it's quite a kind of lonely existence. You know, you're on your own talking to yourself in a room with nobody else around.
I'll be honest, I don't think it is, and a lot of people have kind of said it is a lonely experience. I don't think it is, because I think I always envision that you're talking to, you may not have, you know, you don't know that person, you can't visually see that person, but I think you're kind of always talking to someone. I mean, we've got a beer in our studio, and like all the time that I've done the radio, I've literally spoke to this kind of stuffed bear, imagining in some kind of extended metaphor that this is the audience. But yeah, you are right, it can be somewhat of a, especially I think I kind of adopt your view as well. A lot of what I do on my show is kind of down to me, and I prefer that as well. in kind of having the own control. But I suppose from that, you don't have, you know, you don't have a producer, you don't have stuff like that for you to talk to, especially
yeah.
a kind of at the time that you're on as well. I was just going to say, if there was a few kind of, I was just going to list off a few most likely twos from the people that you've worked with over the years. Do you think you could kind of name a few names, perhaps?
How do you mean? What's the most likely to
kind
do
of
what?
Most likely to, for example, most likely to, are the people that you work with most likely to swear on air? Is there anyone that springs to mind from that?
Well, I would say that the majority of radio presenters who've been doing it for any length of time won't swear on air because they just kind of trained themselves. Sometimes you come across presenters who they want to play a bit of a game and they want to
yeah.
make it seem as if they will swear, you know, that they're always really really close to swearing. And sometimes they're really able to do that skillfully and sometimes they're not, and it can backfire on them. And I have actually seen that happen a couple of times, or heard it happen even.
Yeah.
And it is a big mistake. You know, there's no need to swear.
No,
and the rules are really plain. You know, it's quite simple. It's against the rules. So,
yeah, of course. Is there anyone that kind of springs to mind, if I was to say, I'll list off a couple of them, someone perhaps that would wake up late to miss their show, perhaps, or kind of be late? Is there someone that springs to mind from that?
There have been instances when that's happened. I mean, you know, there can be other reasons. The car breaks down.
Obviously.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it happens to us all. I mean, at one point, even, you know, I often, my show used to start at 11. Well, it does. Still the start
yeah.
11, but at one point it was starting 11 and it was on Monday to Thursday, and I would often go to gigs beforehand, and then
yeah, that's a risky game to play, isn't it?
I would be trying to get from the gig to get to the show, and sometimes things would be going against me, like I couldn't find parking or I couldn't get through the traffic.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of instances where I was a tiny bit late and I'd had to phone the presenter who was on air before me to say, look, I'm sorry, but I'm stuck in traffic. I'll be with you as soon as possible. And that's, you know, I don't really try and do that anymore, but
no.
I was super keen to try and do everything in those days.
In the early days,
you know, yeah. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm as to blame as anybody, you know. So I don't have any harsh judgments on
yeah,
people.
Definitely.
And it's a tricky thing, you know. It can be really difficult trying to time your journey at certain times of day.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll
bring up one just in case there is kind of a not maybe a name but a story, and perhaps that's probably the best way to kind of do this. Forgetting that you're on air. I mean, is there anyone, any instances that kind of spring to mind in terms of that? People forgetting that the mic is up and kind of forgetting.
Oh, you mean, right, so they're actually
yeah.
doing the show, but they've left the mic on by mistake. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's an occupational hazard, isn't it? It's really tricky. It doesn't help. I mean, luckily, while I've done that, I've often realised that the mic's still on, but
yes.
I haven't really started a conversation, but I know that some people have made that mistake. And it is quite funny. I mean, you've got to laugh about.
You have
things,
to laugh,
really,
yeah.
haven't you?
You have to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, in the way that you said that as well, that seems to insinuate that there was someone that actually completely forgot that there was on air. When I first kind of the way that you kind of laughed then seemed to be a way that that some people that you know may have perhaps just completely forgotten that they're meant to do a show. I mean, is that a case of I guess completely?
Well, I think that certain people's lifestyles, you know, might mean that. Yeah, they kind of are a bit oblivious because they're still hungover from the night before, or they're still kind of on the night out, and that could be any time of day because of the kind of strange hours that people do
yeah.
in radio. You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
It does happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect.
It can be entertaining.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to kind of name names, but is there a lot that kind of you can, that people that you can envision from when I've kind of listed that? Is there a few people? I don't expect to name names, but is there some people that have been like that?
there's definitely been some people I've worked with, and there have been some people on other stations that I've been aware of that have done things, and
yeah
it's amazing.
I mean
it's probably more relevant to what you're doing,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, there's been occasions with a few people that I know that have done it. So yeah, no, me and you both. I mean, I did this with Dan O'Connell, and kind of I said someone that has woke up late and missed their show, and he said Toby Tarrant. Someone to swear live on it, and he said Toby Tarrant. Someone to forget that they're on it, and he said Toby Tarrant. To say a different radio station, he said Toby Tarrant. To come in hungover, he said Toby Tarrant. So
that's brilliant. That sounds pretty understandable, but it's interesting because Toby's still young.
Yeah,
and he's still having a lot of fun, so that's great. And you know, credit to Toby.
Yeah,
he's managed to weather all of that and still be on air.
Yeah,
which is a feat. So somehow, even though he might have transgressed, he must have done it in a nice, charming way.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy it. I enjoy listening to all yours. I enjoy like all the way from pretty much even over the weekend. I mean, like, just my weekend probably begins with Rich Wolfden before you, and then like straight into John Kennedy with Exposure from Friday and Saturday, and that's not to say with everybody in the week as well. I think it's my favorite radio station. Definitely my favourite radio station.
That's very kind of you, Jamie, and you've said lots of complimentary things. Thank you very much.
No, I just don't know. There's something unique about it. There's something unique that you turn in and kind of Johnny Vaughan's talking about opera, and kind of that you know stuff like that, or Toby Tarrant's talking about football, or Chris Moyles is, you know, talking about whatever else, and you're kind of introducing acts that are completely unknown. So I think there's kind of a unique ability about it that I really like, that I find that you don't get with other radio stations as well. But that's just me sugarcoating Radio X. trying to hope for a job or something.
It's an amazing flow to the Radio X. So, and for that, you know, we are very grateful.
Yeah.
Just tell everybody to listen. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the merrier.
And you've been there since XFM as well, so you've seen like so many people kind of come and go as well at that point.
Yeah. There's been so many people who've gone on to bigger and better things. Some who've not as well.
Was you there when the Ricky Gervais show then as well? When it was Ricky Gervais and kind of stuff like that.
Totally.
Vernon Kay was on it at one point, wasn't he? There's a lot of people that kind of you really. When you actually delve all the way back, that there's been a lot of people that you've kind of had as your colleagues as well. Just before I do let you go, and kind of I really have to ask you this question. This is one of my favourite questions to ask any guest. What are your top five albums of all time?
Oh, this is the kind of question that I try and wriggle out of.
Is it?
Because I'm looking forward all the time. I try and not kind of rank the past so much, and also I find it changes every day and every week.
Yes, it's a bit like your favorite movie, isn't it?
It depends.
Yeah,
and in a way, you know, I've listened to too many. I can't pick a favorite because I'm very focused on the future, and so it's what's coming up that I'm most excited about. And one drawback, I must admit, of the job. And what I do is that I don't get to live with things as long as I would like to, because I've kind of moved on. I might think, oh, I love this. This is brilliant.
Yes.
And then the next thing. So say, you know, coming up at the moment, I'm looking forward to new albums by Yard Act and Idols, the new Lucy Rose album. So I'm really excited about those. If you talk to me in 6 months' time, I'll be excited about the next lot of records that are going to be coming out.
Yeah, well, actually, that's quite interesting, because I am off to a festival in August. I'm off to Victoria's Fest in Portsmouth. And there is Yard Act, and there is Pixies, and there is Idols, and there's a whole host of people, Wet Leg, who I've never seen before. So kind of stuff like that. I mean, it's interesting when you say that kind of people like that, because, I mean, you associate that with a name, and then I feel like I have to kind of go have a look now when you say it, because, I mean, everyone swears by Idols as being a really, really great band, whereas I've never really listened to them, so I suppose you probably make a good point about kind of looking forward and kind of, when I do listen to the show, I do find myself thinking, well, I really like that sound, and then go from the discography throughout it all as well. So, yeah,
well,
I think that's really interesting.
I'm a big fan of live music, and watching somebody perform live can be a great way of discovering them in many ways, and to see how they communicate I mean, all of those bands you mentioned are all really brilliant live, so I would try and catch them all if you can. And the thing about music is that it is also very subjective. It's very personal. And so we all have a different reaction to things. And sometimes it can be quite mood-oriented as well. So you might not be in the mood for a particular kind of thing at a particular kind of moment, but it might really connect another time. So you might not want the aggression of Idols necessarily one day, but you might want it another day. And you might want something soothing one day, and you might not want that another day because it just seems boring. But they're both vital and both important.
I mean, I'll finish it off before I let you go. Thank you for coming. I really do appreciate it. Probably one of my favourite guests. I've absolutely enjoyed this.
You're very kind, Jamie. Thanks for asking me.
I mean, obviously, you say about that you're kind of looking forward. From this current moment, who do you think that people should really be getting behind as acts? Is there anyone that stands out for you as someone that you think this is kind of the next big thing? I put that in quotations, the next big thing, because everyone kind of can say that in the music industry. But is there someone that stands out in your mind as kind of being your favourite thing in this current moment?
Yeah, sure. There's a great band from Wales called Chroma who've just put out their debut album. I'm going to go and see them play tomorrow night. They're really exciting. If you want loud, noisy music that says something about what's going on in the world, then Chroma are for you. Alternatively, I'm very excited about an artist called Rosie Frater-Taylor, who's an incredible guitarist. She's quite jazzy. She's got an album coming out this year. I really like a band from London called Bedroom Tax, who are a bit like The Streets, maybe. They're really, really good. There's just so much going on. Ellie Bleach, I was listening to today, and she's got an EP coming out soon through a record label called Sad Club Records. And she could be London's answer to Lana Del Rey, possibly. I mean, her voice and her songwriting are definitely up there, I think. I think they're really, really good. And if you want something unusual, then maybe check out a band called Office for Personal Development, who are an electropop band who write these really quite funny, quirky songs.
Yes.
About life. And they're really, really catchy. And they're amazing live. They put on an incredible performance. They dress like they're all working in an office. They've got matching grey suits with green ties. And they're very, very funny. They're really good. Another really funny band who I really like from Norwich called Bag of Cans just put out a debut album last year. I would really recommend anybody to listen to them, and they're great live, really exciting. But also, I'm really looking forward to the new album by Another Sky. So Another Sky are a band based in London, but they're from different parts of the country. They're about to release their second album. They're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. I'm going to have to check them all out now, because it's kind of the person, because you've kind of said about it, and the person that kind of, for me, illustrates what is kind of the next. I mean, your BBC introducing his stuff like locally, but I mean, you're looking at stuff that are going globally, do you know what I mean? So I'm going to have to check them out, but it's obvious that you kind of know the music kind of inside out. I mean, you know, up and down the country in terms of like low artists. But yeah, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. John Kennedy, Friday, Saturday, 11 PM to 2 AM, every Friday, Saturday on Radio X. Thank you for coming in. I really do appreciate it. And I think you've been one of my favourite guests ever, so thank you for doing this.
Thanks very much, Jamie. You're very kind.
I appreciate it.
Good work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day.
And you.
See you soon.